Okay, if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to start reading at verse 12 of the third chapter of Hebrews. I'm backing up just to pick up some context. And this lesson tonight is going to work into, let me adjust my hearing aids. Anyway, this message tonight is going to work into what I've been writing about in the bulletin on Sunday. And that is the one thing that trips up everybody. You know, Eve was deceived by the serpent, and he got her to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, people like to make that into a fairy tale. Not a fairy tale at all. He planted a tree next to the tree of life, and his tree promised life, but it produces death. And all of the religious systems of the world are based upon or predicated upon that lie. What was it? God, or Elohim, plural form of God, that's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Elohim doth know. The day that you eat thereof, God had said, thou shalt not eat of it, for thou shalt surely die. And the serpent said, Elohim doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you will be like God, and you won't die. Now, if you think about the religions of the world, all of them are based upon what? Every religious system in the world, except biblical Judaism and biblical Christianity, every single one is based upon what man can do for God. And the truth of Judaism, if the Jews had understood it, sacrificial system, high priest represents the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrificial system portrayed him in his death on the cross of Calvary, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven. All of those sacrifices could never take away sin, but they were pointing the Jews who said, with respect to the law, all that the Lord has spoken, what? We will do. Now, we're going to read about that tonight. We're going to see that's unbelief. That's not belief, that's unbelief. Because belief has to be in the promise of God. But if we act according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's the lie of the devil, and that's unbelief in what God has said. And people get it all mixed up, and because every religious system in the world is based upon what man can do for God rather than what God has done for man, they say we have classes in college about comparative religions. Well, what do they compare with? They always compare it to, you have a morality, you have a morality, you have a morality. We're all trying to get there. Maybe the ways vary a little bit. That's what they say. But we're all trying to get to the same place. Well, that may be what man's trying to do. But no one's going to get there by the lie of the devil, because it is the lie of the devil. And God said to Eve, to Adam as well, the day you eat thereof, what? Ye shall surely die. It wasn't, as the serpent said, well, you won't die. God knows that it's going to enlighten you. They were in the image of God. And Adam was in the image of God when he also ate of it. So he ate of it willingly, and he ate of it knowing or casting. You got to remember, he's in the image of God. So did he have omniscience? I don't know. But what the image of God entails. But it's possible that he knew all like God does. Now think about it. You're going to die, yeah, thinking that you're pleasing God, and God warned not to eat of it. So Adam, when he ate of it with his posterity and with Eve in mind. He loved Eve, just as the scripture says of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us and did what? Gave himself for us. Yeah. So that's what Adam did when he also ate of the tree. Scripture is very clear. Adam was not deceived. There used to be a popular song, Doing What Comes Naturally, or something. And in that song, goes way back, can't remember the words anymore. But anyway, the idea is, I think in that song or another one of a similar sort, it's been too many years, I'm getting old. But the concept is that you can be like God. And we can't. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and what? Sinneth not. So, God sware in his wrath in verse 11. This is of the third chapter of Hebrews. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. What was it that the Jews did that caused God to swear, they shall not enter into my rest? They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Given the commandments, and you know, there's not just 10. There's many, many. If you read the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy, book of Leviticus, there's far more than 10 commandments, but there were 10, and nobody can keep those either. But of all the things that God said, they couldn't do it. It was impossible for them to do it. But they thought they could because of what? The lie of the devil. What's the lie of the devil? Disobey God and you can be like God. So, how do we disobey God? By thinking that we can be like God by what we gained from that tree. What was it? A knowledge of good and evil. By definition, what is a knowledge of good and evil? It's morality. So every religious system in the world, say biblical Christianity and biblical Judaism, every religious system is based upon morality, what man can do for God. So he goes on, take heed, brethren, verse 12, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, when they ate of that tree, when they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, that wasn't an act of faith, that was an act of unbelief. You know, because the scripture says, therefore by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified in God's sight. Now the world looks at that. Oh, isn't that wonderful? People are going to, you know, be good and kind and this and that. No. Or there's not what? How many just men are there? There's none. Yeah. You know, only the God man was just. God had to become a man through the virgin birth so that he could die in our stead. So he says, but exhort. Exhort is what I'm doing right now. I'm preaching and encouraging. See? So take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort, encourage one another daily while it's called today. Encourage them how? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of, it says sin, and yeah, that's correct, but if we could read it in the Greek, it has, it's singular, it's not sin, it's the sin. The singular sin. I've been talking about it. What was it? The singular sin was when Eve, you know, actually Adam, he's the federal head of the race, so Eve's sin didn't plunge us into sin. It was Adam's sin, and he sinned for her so that the whole human race would be dead in trespasses and sin, so that if one person can plunge us into sin, then one person can take us out. So God became a man in the fullness of time through the virgin birth, lived his life as a Jew on this earth, and gave himself as a vicarious. That means, it's a theological term, which means substitutionary sacrifice. He died in our stead. And then he was placed in the grave, was in the grave for 72 hours, and he raised himself from the dead. He told the Jews, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. In other words, the Romans wanted to kill him, but he could have gotten out of their hands very easily. You know. In fact, he said, my kingdom of the world, of this world, we would do what? We would fight. But the kingdom is not of this world. And in order for him to have anyone in his kingdom, he had to die. Because all of us are dead in trespasses and sin by virtue of Adam's sin. Right? So in order for there to be a kingdom, you have to have someone to rule over. And there wouldn't be anyone to rule over if we could get to heaven by what we do. You know, that's the lie of the devil. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What does that mean? We believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now, that confidence is held steadfast unto the end because of a judicial decree. God says, when Christ died, you died. Well, I wasn't born yet. You weren't born yet. But judicially, everyone but, you know, that would believe on the Lord at the moment of their salvation, which was in point of time, in effect, when before the foundation of the world, God knew who everyone he was going to create, and he knew everyone that he was going to elect to salvation. Now, some people put great emphasis upon election. Election just means he chose us, you know. And if you want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not one thing to prevent you from believing except you yourself. If you're all tied up in what you can do, I'm a good person, then you're never going to realize that you're not a good person. You need a Savior. So the Scripture tells us what all men are like. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That means none of us are one bit better than Biden. Yeah. We might think we are, but he's dead in trespasses and sin. We're dead in trespasses and sin. His sins may vary differently from our sins, but how many sins do you have to commit to be a sinner? Just one, and we're born, dead. Why? Not because of our sin, but because of Adam's sin. So all of us, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, all of us would go to hell because we're the children of Adam. So when Christ came into the world, in the fullness of the time, then he stood in our stead in life, he stood in our stead in death, and he offered himself as a ransom for sin. God accepted that payment so that whosoever believes, well, if you want to believe, there's not one thing that prevents you from believing except you yourself. Yeah. And so people that think they're good and they're good enough and they don't need a Savior, sadly, they're going to go to hell. The whole Jewish nation said with respect to the law, what? All that the Lord has spoken, what? We will do. They should have said, deliver us from this. There's no way we can keep this. And the years they spent in Egypt proved they couldn't keep it. You know, they were a motley crew, groaning and moaning and complaining every inch of the way. You know. So, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Well, we will, because at the moment that we believe, we also die. So you're dead. And your life, the one you're living right now, you have sin in it? Yeah. Do I have sin in mind? Yes. Is it possible for us to be without sin? No. So the life that we're living right now doesn't affect us. This is not a license to sin. It's a judicial reckoning on the part of God, so that when Christ died, we died with him. And so at the moment of your salvation, you died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, and you were raised from the dead with Christ. And you're actually judicially seated with Christ in heaven at this moment. You say, well, I'm at 4101 River Road. Yes, you're here, but judicially, you're already in the presence of God in heaven. So the possibility of doing something, a dead man can't sin. And you died with Christ. Okay? So holding your confidence steadfast unto the end is, you know, it took place at the moment of your salvation. Okay? So, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned? Yeah. Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? You know, we go back, I'm not going to take the time to go back to the 19th chapter of Exodus. And when they heard the law spoken, they said what? As one person, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So they were all condemned by the law at that moment in time. And the only Jew who ever kept the law, Moses didn't keep it, Aaron didn't keep it, none of the prophets kept it, David didn't keep it, Saul didn't keep it. No one in the Old Testament era, or the New Testament era, for those people who think they're keeping it, no one has or can keep the law except God. And God did it in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, he died for our sins. So what did his death portray to us? Well, when the Jews failed under the law, and they would all fail because, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. So everybody who said all that the Lord has spoken we will do was going to fail before the law. So what was the law going to do? Condemn them. When they were condemned, if they, by faith, brought the appropriate sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle and believed that it would represent the Savior who would come in the fullness of the time and make one sacrifice for sin forever, then they were saved. The majority did not. Most of the Jews who said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, never did. They couldn't, and they didn't think they really needed the sacrificial system. And in fact, by the time we get to the book of Malachi, next time you read it, you know, last book in the Old Testament, the Jews were offering animals that were sick, that were going to die anyway. And they were using those animals for a sacrifice. Because they didn't want it to cost them anything. They were going to lose that animal anyway. Okay? And so Malachi says to them, invite the governor to your house. Would he accept what you're offering to God? Would you dare do that with a governor? You know, a king? No. How could you do anything like that? We're being honored by his presence. Is there any man that has the honor God indwells us. You know, we can't feel his presence necessarily, but he speaks to us through his word when I preach it, and he quickens it or makes it alive. And does it mean you understand everything I preach? Not necessarily the first time it's preached, or the second, or the 10th, or the 100th time. But as you grow in the things of the Lord, there's going to come the time, And that's why God says, take the gospel and go into all the world and do what with it? Preach it. I had a class in the, I forgot the Greek word right now, but on how to teach. And so in college, and so they emphasized, we can only retain 10% of what we hear in the first 24 hours. Now, if we can see and or say or do or speak or hear, let's go. If we can hear and see, like in a movie, then we can. That's two eye gate. That's the eye gate and the ear gate. You know. And then if we can take what was that and relate it to somebody else, you know, if you've seen a movie, if you are telling other people about it, then that makes it possible for you to remember. So seeing, hearing, and telling, you remember much more. But what did God say? You know, not the forsaking of your assembling together. And it's not show movies. It's not have, you know, can't think of a word, but show and tell. do and hear, you know. Or do, hear, and see. Yeah. He said, hear. Why? Because we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So the more that you hear, the more frequently that you hear, then what? Then the more you're going to remember. Now, I've been doing this for 70 years, or over 70. I was saved when I was 21, and I haven't reached that anniversary of my salvation, because that was in January. But I'm getting closer, you know. But the bottom line is, I got into the Word of God right away. Probably before I started Bible school, just a year and a half after I was saved. You have to be a babe in Christ. When I started Bible college, I knew a lot more than my professors. And I'm not saying that because of me. That's because of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, taking in copious quantities of the Word of God. I've read the Bible, every book, at least three times by the time I started Bible school. And I'd been teaching and preaching during that period of time. Yeah. And so they would say something, and I said, well, the scripture says this. And it didn't make me very popular, you know. So I left the interdenominational school that I didn't know any better when I was first saved. Where am I going to go? You know. So I heard about Biola, so I went there. And then after that, I went to the Los Angeles Baptist Theological Seminary. Yeah, that was a super Baptist school, you know. And you know, boy, if I had to be as holy as they wanted me to be holy, I'd never make it. And not with anybody else. They just lay a bunch of stuff on you that they think you need to do, but it's impossible for you to do because the scripture says so.
Yeah.
You know, it's not by works of righteousness, which we've done it, but it's what? It's according to God's mercy that he saved it. So I go, so the Jews said all the Lord had spoken, and so for some, in verse 16, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt. Some believed and used the sacrificial system, and whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but them that believed not. What does it mean that they believed not? They believed they could keep the law. Their unbelief was predicated on the sacrificial system. I don't need to offer a sacrifice for sin because I'm a good boy. And that's basically where all of the religions of the world are. They're all wrapped up in their own performance. Yet the scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, how many people, how much flesh is going to be justified in God's sight? None. So we enter the fourth chapter let us therefore fear. If the Jews, who had been in Egypt in captivity and then saw all of the miracles that Moses and Aaron performed to bring judgment upon the false gods of Egypt, and they'd witnessed all of that, and then they'd come out of Egypt and they were at the Red Sea, and they've got a sea before them, and God says, go across, you know. And, you know, they're terrified, you know. But then God caused the wind to blow, stacked up that sea, and they walked across into Arabia, you know. Not on the Sinai Peninsula, but into Arabia. You know, there's an eastern and a western leg of the Red Sea. And they were into Arabia, and that's where Mount Sinai is. That's where the mount with a cave in it, where Elijah fled from Jezebel. You know, that's where it was. There's no such thing on Sinai. You know, so somebody somewhere along the line, this way tradition works, they call that Sinai Peninsula. That's not Sinai at all. It's over in Arabia. You know. Okay. So let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest. Now, how do we enter into his rest? Jesus said, the Apostle Paul said, the just shall live how? By faith. Now, faith is not doing, faith is believing. Now, it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't have things for us to do. Right now, by faith, I'm preaching to you. And it's by faith because I study, but I haven't got any idea what I'm going to say till I actually say it. And I have some notes in my Bible and rarely make reference to them. So a man that should be deep into dementia under the power of the Spirit of God is able to preach messages that some of the elite intelligentsia, virtually all of them, can't understand because they're not saved and they're not indwelt by the Spirit of God. But believers can understand. Okay? The natural man, you know, no one knows God by intelligence. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if you don't believe, God is unbelief. And it was unbelief when the Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. You know, that wasn't to justify them. That was to show them that they couldn't do it. But because of the lie of the devil and the influence that it's had on the entire human family, everyone thinks you get to heaven by the life that you live. Except a handful of people who recognize that we're sinners and that Christ died for our sins. And he gave us the faith to believe, and we have eternal life, and we can never lose it. You know, the moment we have salvation, we are no longer counted to be alive on this earth, except for the things that we do by faith, by the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Everything else died with Christ, and we were translated into the presence of God. So people say, oh Lord, I won't drink any of this or any of that for a whole week if you'll give me this. You know? And people are always trying to make deals with God. You know? No, that's not the way. If you want to please God, you believe God. It's got nothing to do with your works, but do we have good works? Yes. And will we be rewarded for our good works? Yes. But are we going to be able to strut around heaven with the crowns that he gives us for the good works that we do? No, because we're going to take them off our head and cast them before the feet of the Lord. It's a way of praising him for what he did for us. None of us deserve to be there in the first place. And so it's a matter of praise. So, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, preached to the Old Testament Jews. The writer of the Hebrews is writing to Jews, many of whom have professed faith in Christ, but the word preached did not profit them. they said all the Lord has spoken. Well, that was spoken to them, but they should have understood that it's the law of God. It demands perfection. We can't keep that. So he gave them the sacrificial system to take care of their failures under the law, because they were portrayals of the sacrifice of Christ. And those animal sacrifices could never take away sin, but they represented faith in God's promise of a Savior. So, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with not just faith. If we could read this in the Greek, it's not being mixed with the faith. Now, what's the difference between faith and the faith? Well, the faith is the body of revealed truth concerning Jesus Christ in his person and work. So it has to do with his virgin birth. It has to do with his fulfillment of the law. It has to do with his willingly allowing the Romans and the Jews to crucify him. You know, and it has to do with him raising himself from the dead. It has to do with his presently being seated in heaven, making intercession for us. So when the devil accuses us, can he? Well, most of the time. But all that we do is not seen, because the scripture says you're dead and your life is hid where? With Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So it's that judicial relationship in which Christ died for us, and he indwells us by his Spirit. And so what we do by faith, by his power, not our power, that's what we're going to be rewarded for. And that's why we take those crowns from our head and cast them before the feet of the Lord, because without his gifts and his enabling, we couldn't do any of them. Okay, so, for we which have believed, do what? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, simple act of faith. You know, I remember when Debbie was five, we were at High Street Church in Springfield, Missouri, and they gave an invitation, and she said, "Daddy, I want to go forward." And I said, "Don't go now, I want to talk to you first." So we got home, and I asked her, "Why did you want to go forward?" She said, "Because I believe that Jesus died for my sins." I said, "That's good enough for me. You can go forward next Sunday." So, and she was, you couldn't, in the baptistry, you couldn't see her head. The top of it, through the glass, so they always have a little bit of a glass there in a baptistry. We don't have any place for a baptistry. I'd have to tear out the fireplace. Anyway, so when we baptize, we, you know, we've used people's hot tubs. We've used the swimming pool, the River Road swimming pool. We've used ponds and lakes. I baptized, got to remember who now. Vera and
Julie were at the river.
Oh yeah, I baptized them in the river. What's the name of it? Brownsville. There it is. Yeah, I don't know what the name of the river is, but we baptized them there. All you have to have is enough water to be able to put you under and bring you back up. Okay, so. So verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Well, what's all this talk about? You mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. You have to do this and you have to do that. We're at rest. Now, does that mean that we are not without action? You know, church needs to be clean. Preachers need to study to show themselves approved unto God. Lawns need to be mowed. There's all kinds of things that we can do for the Lord, you know, with the varying gifts that we have, and they all get done. You know? And for he spake in a certain place, Well, I didn't read all of verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So, on any given day of the week, do I have to do anything to make sure I'm saved? What if I don't pray it every day? Do I lose my salvation? There's so much, I can't think of a nice word to use. So I'm not going to use it. But there is so much nonsense preached that's called Christian service. You know, what we do mostly is testify to others of our salvation, and some will listen and most will not. And it makes our hearts ache when we have family members that we want to be saved and we can't get them to come to where they can hear the word of God and be saved, and they don't want to listen when we talk to them, you know, because they know all of our faults. They don't know any of their faults, but they know all of ours. You know, I had a big brother, so I know all about that. up close and personal. Okay. Anyway, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, remove the word if, they shall, or add the word not. No. The translator didn't know where to put the negative in this particular sentence. So, they shall not enter into my rest. See? So how do we enter into rest? I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe, first believed that when I was, back in, I'll have to ask, was it 87 or, 53, wasn't it? 54.
What would you ask?
My salvation.
I would have been 54.
Yeah. I was 21 years old, but I'd had my birthday, and I was working on my second, being 22.
Okay. Grandpa died in January of 53.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't give those dates straight, but, so I have to turn to my amanuensis. Okay. So when I see Debbie Mose. Adrian lives in Portland. And so he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. Let me finish reading verse 3. They shall not enter into my rest. So take the if out and replace it with a not after shall, and you'll have the correct translation of this verse. So they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from before the foundation of the world. You have to remember that God is omniscient. So long before there ever was a universe, there was God. And then he created the universe and put all the different stars and planets and solar systems and all. And we don't know how many there are. And things, we look at the stars tonight, that light left those stars, depending how far away they are, traveling at 186,000 miles a second, the light from those stars, they're so far away, they left those stars years ago and we're seeing them tonight. Does that boggle the mind? Yeah, it does, you know. So, and the light, you know, the sun's close enough and the moon's close enough. Yeah. What is it? When the men were on the moon, what is it, about 250,000 miles to the moon? Something like that. 186,000 speed of light. Well, they'd ask them a question, and then we'd have to wait, and then they would answer, and we'd have to wait for the answer to get here. So from the asking of the question to getting the answer, there's about 2 seconds in there. Yeah. So we could see that light that travels 186,000 miles per second, it took 2 seconds to get a message to the moon and back. Yeah, actually a little bit more, okay? And many of us witnessed that. I was much younger then. Hard to remember the details now. So, they shall not enter into my rest. Yeah. Or, let's see, although the works, they shall not enter into my rest, even though the works were finished from where? The foundation of the world. Or before God put anything out in space, the works were already done. God is an omniscient God. Omniscience means he knows everything. He knows everything in the present tense. People try to make God like to be some old fogey that can't remember what he said yesterday. No. God is eternal, eternally in the present tense. Everything that has happened, is happening, or ever shall happen for God is eternally in the present tense. No. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his work. So he, in six literal days, he recreated the earth. When we read in Genesis about creation, let's go back to there for just a moment, and then I'll close with it since I brought it up. Okay? First verse says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We don't know when that was. And then because of the fall of Lucifer, when he was lifted up in pride and convinced one-third of the angels that he could be God, when that happened, he had something to do with the earth, and so God judged the earth. So that's what we have in verse 2. And the earth was or became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God blocked the light of the sun with a shroud that was so heavy, no light could penetrate it. Now, because of a verse and all the jewels that make up the clothing of Lucifer, I perceive him to have been a cloud of jewels that in the original creation were between, the sun and the earth. The sun kills us, you know. So to refract and reflect that light, think of a cloud of jewels. Then when you read about all the jewels that made up the devil and his being, where are they now? They're all buried in the earth. You know. So when God judged the earth, he buried those jewels in the earth, okay? So that what we read from verse 2 on is the recreation. So in the beginning, we don't know when that was. There's no way of putting time on it. So when they say, well, somewhere around 4,004, 4,006 BC, you know, that's for the, verse 2 might be fairly close. But verse 1, we don't know when that was. And think about how vast the universe is. So it had to be literally billions of years ago, because every now and then they discover a new star. Well, the light just got here. It didn't get created at that moment in time. The light just got it to where it was visible, okay? So that gives us a sense. And how did God do it? He spoke it into existence. You want to talk about omnipotence? That's being all-powerful. Yeah. Man thinks he's really something when he can make a supersonic aircraft or reach the moon with a rocket. You know, and those are pretty incredible feats. But it's not close to saying, universe come into being. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And when we get an idea of who you are and who we are, that you should care for such as we, who willfully sinned against thee and therefore needed a Savior. So in the second person of the Godhead, you became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. You lived your life as a Jew on this earth, fulfilling every jot and tittle of the law. And then you gave yourself as a ransom for sin so that your holiness, righteousness, and justice could be satisfied and so that we could be saved. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.